What I want to share with you is something that I began on Wednesday, was, are you frustrated? Have you ever been frustrated? And we spoke about with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Martha invited Jesus and his disciples to come have Sunday brunch. Okay? So she sent an invitation to Jesus. Jesus came to her house, but then winds up getting rebuked. Y'all know the story? Okay, let's review. Go to Luke 10. Luke 10, 38. And I begin to preface this message. There's going to be a series of these, as you can tell. It started with, are you tired? And then it went to, are you frustrated? Well, the title of this message is, have you ever been let down? Have you ever been let down? Have you ever been disappointed? All right, in Luke 10:38 it says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me wash dishes and, you know, clean everything up. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we began to teach on that on Wednesday, and it's beginning to stir something inside of me that I believe God wants to show us. If you would, please go to John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, in verse 1. Next slide, please. Y'all need to look at me, though, okay? Next slide. John 6, 1 through 3. When you're there, say amen. All right. I want to show you something here. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing. Say signs. And those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? What I want to point out to you is that you have crowds following Jesus because of the signs of healing the sick. Jesus has to go up and away from the people because he's performing so many miracles with signs and wonders of healing. Do you see that? Why would Jesus get away from all these people? Was he running away from them because of we had no food? Or was it because the people knew him only as a healer? And that's all they wanted to keep Jesus as, is nothing but another healer. And they were going to try to make him become king. Do you understand? When you get a crowd following you, and they start singing your praises, that it gets the attention of the government, and it gets the attention of the church, that they want to raise this individual that has influence up to a position of authority and a position of rulership, Jesus is like, wait a minute, that's not what I'm here for. I have a purpose. And in my purpose, I've got to do greater things. But yet the people saw him, knew him as a healer. So you read on in here, you see that he begins to do even greater miracles, and he feeds the multitude. Feeds the multitude. So now they know him as a miracle worker. He does signs and wonders through healing. He delivers people left and right out of demons. Or demons out of them. So they know him about signs and wonders that are always following him. So don't you think that once you were to hear of a great healer, how many of you heard of Benny Hinn? Raise your hand. You ever heard of Benny Hinn? You know, the white suit, white hair. You know that one. Okay. What do you know about him? Oh, he's a miracle worker? So, you know, if you go to one of his crusades, you know people are going to be there for what?
Healing.
Now, he's not Jesus, but yet God is using him to do a certain work, correct? So people go to his meetings because of healing. This is what was happening with Jesus. Now I'm setting the stage for you. I want you to go to John 11. John chapter 11. We're still going to talk about these three wonderful people, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1. Go to the next slide, Josh. Next one. All right, and we can just leave it there. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Well, they're sending a message to Jesus about her brother, but they never mention Lazarus' name. Did you see that? You're reading the same scriptures that I'm reading, right? So how is it that Jesus now is knowing that, okay, the one that you love is sick? Does not God, Jesus, love everybody? So the gospel writer here is saying something that we need to pay attention to. He's saying that he knows Lazarus as a personal friend, that he loves him enough to know him as an individual, not just another person that doesn't know what's going on. This is someone that is close to Jesus. Now, we read in the first story that when Jesus was passing by, Martha invites Jesus to her house, right? Jesus comes in, but remember, she sent word for him to come. No, well, she texted him. How many of you try to text Jesus? You know, we all try, right? We all... Did you get it? Hello? No service. Drop call. This just didn't work. Well, here we go now. She's sending another text. She's sending an email. She's sending a FaceTime. Or what's the other one, Hannah, that we just... Tango. I like that one. Tango. Anybody can get on Tango. We've got Tango. Tango. But see, what I'm talking about is she sent message again so that Jesus would come, because now it's a serious matter that her brother Lazarus is sick. This is cold about Jesus right here. Oh, watch this. Now, y'all with me, right? Verse 4. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. This sickness is not to end in what? Death. It's not to end in death. This is Jesus talking, right? Because mine has it in red. Does yours have it in red? Jesus is talking now. All right now. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days. Wait a minute. Have you ever sent a message to someone you didn't get a reply back? Huh? You know, when you get that text and they're like, hey, look, I know you got it because it says you read it on this date. Don't tell me you didn't read my text, because I know I sent it, and right here, right, it's, you read it. And I was asking something of you, but you didn't respond. What up with you? Have you ever sent out a message and no one responds? Have you ever sent up a prayer and they haven't been answered? I know that's most of y'all in here. Now, I think that's everybody in here. If you're getting your prayers answered all the time, I need to see you after church. I got a list of prayers for you to pray for. Have you ever been let down? Yes. Now, we know that Martha got let down by her sister Mary when, look, we're going to have brunch over. I need you to help me. But then she winds up getting rebuked because she got let down by her sister. Much less didn't even mention Lazarus helping out in the kitchen, because he would have messed everything up. But now, there's a serious issue, and Martha sends now another message to get Jesus over there, because there's something going on. And he's sick. And then Jesus responds, walking with his disciples,
walking with the disciples, this sickness will not end in death, but to the glory of God. Now, you know Peter's amongst them. Peter's probably walking like, he got a fever? What's up? Why are we getting this messenger come and tell us to go to their house again? They're going to feed us? Well, let's go. She makes some good chicken fried steak. We need to go. And she puts that, you know, the gravy underneath. So that when you cut through the breading, the gravy just kind of bubbles up. And then they roast some corns real good, too. Talking about corns. Now, but see, you don't know how you roast corns? Corns. Corns. Because when you roast the corn, you put that, some of y'all put butter, others put mayonnaise. And then some of y'all put salt, others put chile. For those who don't know what chile means, some spicy stuff. Some of y'all will end right there and say, this is the Holy Ghost now. But others take it a step further and they kick it up a notch. And they put a little bit of Parmesan cheese on it. Oh, your heart say, boom, 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 boom. Now, all of a sudden, now you got something going on that's a little bit different than just corn. And she knew how to snap those greens. Put it in there. Cook it all up. So Peter was like, we've been to her house many times. We need to go, Jesus. Come on, let's go, Jesus. Jesus said, now we're going to stay 2 more days. You know, Peter was mad. You know, Peter was already licking his chops. And the last time we were there, Jesus, you got mad at Martha, but you know what? We ate real good. That we would always go by there every time we're in this place. Here's what I'm trying to point out to you. They were always going to her house. You understand that? Have you ever been to someone's house that every time you walk in, they want to feed you? You didn't get like this for no reason. You know, when it says enlarge your territory, wasn't talking about your waistline. But if you walk into a house, they're so used to wanting to feed you. That was Peter, Jesus, and all the disciples. They knew we're going to eat real good if we go over there. But Jesus saying that this sickness is not going to end in death. Oh, really? Y'all about to call Jesus a liar here in a minute. Watch. He says, let's stay 2 more days. Have you ever been let down? Have you ever been disappointed when things didn't come through when they were supposed to come through? Yes. You know what I'm talking about, when you're supposed to have the direct deposit hit your account, but it didn't hit your account. Oh, and they said there was something wrong with the accounting, and you have to wait a little bit longer before you get your money. Shut your mouth. I work, baby. You're going to pay me. Well, there's been some technical difficulties and computers down, so you're not going to get your money like you thought you were going to get. You're going to have to wait an extra week. But bills don't wait, do they? They come in right on time. And if you're like me, oh, Lord. Well, we're not going to go into that one right now. We're just going to get back into the message here. Well, geez, I had a flashback. So, verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was at. Have you ever felt like you're calling on God? God, I need you now. Now, God. And he don't even move. He just stays put. He says, where he's at. People say, God's always moving. That's not what the scripture said right here. He said he stayed where he was at 2 days longer. 2 days longer. Now watch this. Jesus, sometimes it's hard following Jesus. Isn't it hard following Jesus? Now be real with me. Be real with me, because you know it's hard following Jesus. Lord, I'm just going to praise and worship you 24/7. I'm going to get in my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to fast. And there's a barbecue? Well, I'm going to start on Tuesday then. The game is playing. We're going to start on Wednesday night then. What happened to being committed like that, right? We ain't all like that. Here's the truth. We're real. We go through some stuff. And when we go through stuff, We have a tendency to be let down, disappointed, because we're following after Jesus.
I'm going to read it to you. You're going to get mad at me, but I love you.
Verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again.
We're supposed to be going to Mary and Martha's, but you're taking a right when we're supposed to go left, and we got to go this way?
What are you talking about? You see, trying to follow Jesus. You know Peter's in there acting a fool. Watch. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day?
Why do you want to talk about time? What does time have to do with you being stoned and going to another place when you have an invitation to go see Lazarus because Lazarus is sick? Watch this. This is hard following Jesus. Watch this. He make you go a little bit on the cuckoo side.
If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he sees the light of this world.
Huh?
But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What does this have to do with what the question was? Are we going to Mary, Martha's, and Lazarus because Lazarus is sick? And now you want to go someplace else. Now you're talking about daytime and nighttime and hours, stumbling and falling. You're causing me to want to walk away from you.
Verse 11, here's the shift.
This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go so that I may awaken him from the sleep.
You know, you've been around some people that just don't understand what you're saying.
You know how sometimes you have the thought here and it comes out here and people just don't know what you're talking about. You look, Were you thinking out loud again?
I was having a conversation with myself and what I meant to say was this. This is kind of how Jesus is. He's just talking and people are trying to catch up to what he's saying and they still don't understand.
And all he said, oh, Lazarus just sleep.
Now watch this.
How many of y'all, when y'all don't feel good, what do y'all do?
Go to sleep.
Right? I mean, you know, when you got the upset stomach and you don't want to, you know,
I just want to go to sleep so I know when I wake up it'll go away. I ate too much Tums, Beagle, or whatever. Just want to go to sleep.
Verse 12, the disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep,
he'll recover. Because I know when I'm sick, I go to sleep, God, and I'm all better. It's better. Disciples are like, okay, now you're talking something we kind of understand. Watch this, this cold right here.
Verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Verse 4 says, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God.
Have you ever... Has God...
No, wait. Y'all get mad at me.
Have you ever been let down?
You know how your boss sometimes promises you're going to get that bonus at the end of the quarter because we've done so well and the end of the quarter comes, and guess what happens? Oh, we had some minor setbacks, and overhead was a little bit too much, and so you're not going to get what was originally promised to you, so you don't get what was... How many of y'all been there? Oh, yeah. So you've been let down. You've been disappointed. This is kind of what's happening here. Now Mary and Martha said, wait a minute, this is the one that you loved. Y'all would sit down on the lazy boy, watch the Spurs game, and chow down. I sent another text, and what you had bad reception? I FaceTime you. You wouldn't answer the FaceTime. You know how we do.
Yeah.
Boy, you better answer that text. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to FaceTime you. You better pick up that phone. I want to see where you're at. No answer. Try this again. And text you. Answer your FaceTime. I want to know where you're at. Nothing? Okay, when you get home, I need to talk to you. I guess if we just don't answer the text or the FaceTime, we don't face the music. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine what Martha's going through? Martha's like, wait a minute. I sent you to come for dinner. You came immediately. But for something more serious, and that I know that you are a healer and that you heal, you could heal my brother. Oh, no. See what I'm talking about? Now, if I happen to go to Benny Hinn's conference and I have an illness, I know I can be healed because he's a healer. What happens if you go and you don't get healed? Did you get disappointed? Have you been let down? And you know, sometimes you got to drive a long distance to get there because it's never where you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Jesus is making a point here. He's about to show why it's to get glory. You watch this. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. This is Jesus speaking. Lazarus is dead. Now I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. I told you it's hard following Jesus. It's hard. It's real hard. You know how hard it is? If you go to John 6:60 through 66, it talks about how many disciples left him because it was too hard following him. They couldn't even understand what he was saying. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood. They're like, what are you talking about, man? And they left. It was a great exodus. The disciples left. Read this in John. John writes about it. Showing you, it's hard following Jesus. Hasn't it ever felt difficult? You're trying to do everything that you know to do with God, but it seems like hell's still prevailing against you, but the scripture says otherwise. Yes. Have you ever been let down? Yes. Have you ever been disappointed? Don't you think Mary and Martha are disappointed now? Yep. Now he tells them, now, oh, Lazarus is dead now. Watch this, knucklehead. This one, Thomas, boy, he's something. We all have a Thomas in our midst. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 16. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. Thomas, you don't speak for me. Thomas, we all have a Thomas in our life, right, that gets a little dramatic. Amen. Someone has a little bit too much drama in their life. Yes. No. I'm talking to you. You know some folks that have a lot of drama. Drama follows them. And if they ain't drama, they cause drama to come into the... Yeah. Is this just me? Oh, we got people like that. Okay, I'm just making sure. This is Thomas. Let us all go that we may die also. No. Thomas, you're on your own. 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb. How many days? You know why four? That was good. You know why four? You know, no, really. Do you know why 4 days? Make sure y'all are away. Do you know why? Okay, got it. Why the 4 days? Because in Jewish traditions and what they believe, that y'all gotta catch up with me. Come on. I'm looking at people holding their corner. Yeah, I got it. Pass. Okay. 4 days in the tomb. Why four? Because 3 days the Jews believe that hush it. That the spirit, after the third day, on the fourth day, the spirit, the soul, would leave the body. So he waited. Why? Haven't you ever wondered why God waits?
Yes.
You know the corn that started over here? It was the little corn. It's the seed. Ain't nobody see it because it goes into the ground first. And it's dark. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it gets a little rough underneath the surface.
Has God ever waited to the point where everybody's wondering, how come he's not showing up in your life? When he's already promised you that everything's going to be okay, and then you don't see anything manifest. I believe it's called manifest. Not manifest, but manifest. Because when you're right, you're just waiting for the manifestations, you get manifestation. You get so mad because it ain't manifested. Have you ever been let down? Have you ever been disappointed? Yes. Don't look at your spouse right now, because you will wind up like Lazarus. You need to know that God set something in motion here. He said, I will wait for the fourth day so that when he comes, watch this. Now here comes Martha running. First of all, you read the text. I told you the one you love is sick. You know how you do with God. You know how you do. This is what you do. God, I have all these bills. You got to come through. Mr. Perez, can we have the keys to your truck? No, you can't. I'm like, what? God's going to come through. Well, he didn't come through. Give me your keys. God, you said that the blessing of God had no sorrow. He said, Marty, I never told you to buy that truck. Oh. And why are you getting mad at me about the bills you created? I didn't tell you to create those bills. Oh, Lord. I don't like these kind of stories and lessons. Why are you letting me down? I ain't letting you down. You made choices that were not of me. You made choices of you. So Martha's telling Jesus, I sent you message to come to my house, and I know you got it. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, because I know when you pray, God answers. Oh, wait a minute. You know some folk like that? Huh? I've been praying, nothing happened. Can you come in agreement? Let's touch and agree. We're touching and agree. Can we touch? We touch, we agree, and it's going to happen. And it still don't happen? Oh, you know what we got to do now? We just got to start fasting now. We're going to fast. We're just going to go ahead and go into, you know, vegetables, and we'll just do Daniel fast. And you know, and we're going to take this 21 days. And on the 21 day, it's going to happen, Mama. It's going to happen, Mama. We're going to just pray together. Yeah, bye-bye, sick, bye-bye, sick, bye-bye, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, R, J, K, L, M, N, P. E-I-E-I-O. Because you don't know what to pray no more. You done did everything. You done tried to get God to move. You done fasted. You start tightening your belt because you lost so much weight because you're going on a cruise. But, you know, you try everything. And still no answer. You know, sometimes we feel like we have the wrong phone number. So now, watch this. Watch. Oh, I got to show you in the Word so you understand what I'm talking about. Watch. Go to verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Oh, Mary, because Mary knows just how to be with God. She was interceding for Martha because Martha was going to go act a fool. That's what's happening. Watch this. Now, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Watch this. This is very, very important. Verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And now watch this. She knew that there'd be a resurrection of the body on the last day when the Messiah is to come. That's scripture. That's already been told before. So now she's speaking of a future tense that's supposed to happen, but has not yet happened yet. So this is what he tells her in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Can you imagine how difficult that was for her to understand that? That's kind of harsh.
I am the resurrection. That don't make no sense to someone that doesn't know what's going on. Now, you're reading the story, and you know what the end of the story is. Lazarus comes up out of the grave, right? Can you imagine Mary and Martha not knowing what's about to happen? They've lost their brother. Do you understand? They've lost their brother. Now watch. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." I don't hear Jesus asking for Mary. Why would she send Mary? Because Martha was in the same state of mind like she was when he first came. And she knew that Mary had some sort of connection. So what does Mary do? Goes right back over there, says the same thing that Martha said, but here's the difference. Verse 29. And when she heard, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. He still stayed put. He didn't move. Even after Martha grills him about not answering the text or the FaceTime or all these other kind of ways of answering her, he still stays put. Has God ever came close to you but not done what he said he was going to do? Oh, watch this. Has he ever begun to do something inside of you and all of a sudden stops? Like the process hasn't finished yet, but you're in the process. He stops right where he's at. And what does he do? He waits because there's a crowd that follows Mary. Mary goes back to his feet, tells him the same thing that Martha told, but the difference is now there's a crowd that follows Mary. It's a setup. Have you ever been disappointed? Your disappointment is God's appointment. If you've been disappointed with what's going on right now in your life, God is going to use that for an appointment for you. What is he going to do? He's going to make sure other people that are around you that have been watching you, what you've been going through and how you've been struggling and what you've been struggling with, so they start watching you even closer. Well, you've been going to that little church over there down the road. See what happens, because I go to this church and our church is better. I'm going to see what's going on with y'all. Pastor don't even wear suits. He used to wear earrings, too. I remember those. I remember that. And then you have people running around all over the place, but I don't know if the power of God is there at all, but we're going to watch it because over here we have a choir. You know what I'm talking about, because people will watch you. Don't even let me get started with the ones where you used to be. Where you used to be, how they want to pull you back. Yeah. Because you were a blessing there, and then they want to pull you back. They're watching you. And then when nothing happens and you're still going through and you're still going through and you're still going through and then you're still going through and you're still going through. You're still going through, brother. But they're watching you. And the appointment is for you to make that change for you. To resurrect what has been dead in your life. Purpose and destiny. But I'm serving God. And I'm doing this. But I'm waiting to show off for you. Amen. For you. Oh, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And he's going to do it because your disappointment is his appointment. His appointment. And if you've ever been let down, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pick you up. He's going to pick you up. He is going to get you to what you need, but he's going to wait till others come around. And this is what he's going to say. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Have you ever felt that you've been in your darkness for too long? And this circumstance seems to be getting darker and darker, stinkier and stinkier. Martha tells him, "Lord, he's been in there 4 days. That it's going to smell." Have you ever been in your mess that it begins to get stinky? It begins to get dark, dismal, and it's not very pleasant.
Your disappointment is God's appointment. And when he steps into the picture, he didn't go lay hands on Lazarus. He went and he spoke into the death region. But it says that Jesus wept. He wept, not because his friend had died, but because he's bringing him back from glory to suffer here. But he knew one thing. When he comes back, it's going to show the people that he is the resurrection. He is the life. And I'm here to encourage you. Your disappointment is God's appointment. Have you ever been let down and people are looking at you wondering what's going on? How come if you're serving God, you're putting your seed into the ground, but you're not seeing the end result like you thought you were going to see? You're waiting to see when your harvest comes, but you don't see a harvest. Matter of fact, you see more things being taken away from you. You start to see things in your life beginning to get stripped away. But yet you're serving God and you're putting money into the ground. You're putting money into this evangelist. You're putting money in this ministry. You're putting money here. You're believing God. You're confessing, but nothing's taking place. Everything is being stripped away. But he's going to say to you, like he said then, in view of everybody, roll the stone away. And then he'll call you by name. He'll say, Kathy, come out. He'll say, Rose, come out. He'll say, Juan, come out. Because he knows you by name.
Yes, you do, Lord.
Up until this point, you think that God has forgotten about you. And when you think it's too late, it's his timing. It's his timing. That when he comes in, he does it to show his glory to prove that he's true. When he comes through for you, it's going to prove of who he really is. Who he really is. And you'll have that understanding. It may have been beyond what you thought. It may have been beyond those days that you've been waiting. Maybe it goes on to the fourth day. The Bible says in the very beginning that a day is like 1,000 years. Doesn't it feel like it's too long? Doesn't it feel like we've been going through so much? It doesn't end. It doesn't change. But something inside of you begins to stir up. What is it, God? Why can't it just happen the way I believe it's supposed to happen? How come it just doesn't happen when I need it to happen? How come, God? I feel like I'm being let down by God. What do you do when your disappointment comes from God? How do you rebound from that? When all you had to do is just, I trust you, God, I trust you. Don't teach me about faith because that's hard. Don't teach me about your sovereignty because that's difficult. I just gotta trust you. And if I trust you, come through. It says nothing can move the hand of God but your faith. Right? How does faith move God? Faith doesn't speak. Faith doesn't cry out. Faith is silent. Do you understand? Faith is silent. Faith means that you're not going to cry in the middle of your storm. Faith means I'm going to be still. And some of us have been still for quite some time. But it's the faith that moves God. That faith brings you closer and brings him so that you can meet face to face. And when you meet God face to face, it's that divine appointment that he can remove and break off some things in your life. Even the influences that have been around that cause you to stumble and to fall in the night seasons. Do you see why Jesus was beginning to talk about in the day you don't stumble? In other words, when you walk with Christ, you can see the pitfalls. But if you're not walking with Christ and you're walking in the darkness, you will stumble and fall. That's why he gave that analogy beforehand. Beforehand. Today is your day to make that choice. Do I want to keep stumbling and falling in my night seasons because I don't see a manifestation
of what God has spoken? How many of you are suffering right now with any type of sickness or disease in your body? Raise your hand and come to the front so we can pray for you. How many of you have been suffering with lack in your finances? Raise your hand. Come to the front. That's a sickness. That's exactly what that's called, is a sickness. Poverty. Poverty is a sickness. Someone has been wounded in a relationship that you felt like, if I would just present this and do this, I know the good will come forth. And you got wounded. You got wounded. The reality is, only God can make the change. Only God can make the change. Relationships. Hey, relationships. Relationships. If you're suffering because of relationship issues, I need you to raise your hand. I'm gonna pray for you guys first. Come up here, right here, right in front of you, please. Please. Relationship issues, come to the front. I want you to join hands. Join hands. Take that red thing from her, please. Relationship. Relationship. I want everybody to make sure your hands are touching. Relationship. Right here. I want to make sure I'm clear. The front row is because of relationship, correct? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the power of God. And with the word of God to be true, as I speak this into the atmosphere, into the hearts, into the souls of each individual that is represented here on the front row, Lord, with issues with relationships, God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you right now, God, for healing, a supernatural healing right now. Supernatural right now of healing because of relationships. Because of relationships. You've been wounded, you've been hurt. You're even afraid because of abandonment and rejection. And you're wondering, will it ever happen? Or am I going to hold on to what was always done to me? Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm here to declare unto you that your relationships are being healed right now. Your heart, right now, in the name of Jesus, are being healed. No more rejection. No more abandonment. No more issues of being lied to, being talked about, being taken advantage of. Like you've given your all, but oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You feared even going into another relationship, even with the Father, because you're worried about the one that hurt you when you were young. You're worried about the relationship that came against you, and you're worried to accept it. This is your time to receive your healing. Your healing. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for the divine healing right now, that by your stripes they are healed. The emotional scars are healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Your identity has been challenged, Lord. Your identity has been challenged. And right now I just declare over their lives right now that no longer will you be called what you used to be called, or to be treated the way you used to be treated. You will be treated with respect. You will be treated with honor. And an agape love, not a filial love, but agape love, with unconditional, not for what you have, not for who you are, but just because they love you the way you are. I broke off this mindset that you're always going to be alone. It's a lie. It's a lie.
For unto this reason, man and woman shall leave their mothers and fathers and cleave to be one of one flesh and one body. I declare unto you, beloved, you will not be alone. You will not be alone. Even if you're married right now and you're wondering, will this pass? You will become one with your mate. One. Release this under the power and the authority of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And all on this front row said amen.
Amen.
Now receive it. Now you also came up for healing in your body. For any sickness or disease, anything that has been written down is a diagnosis that's been given over your life. That's been written by a doctor that spoke of facts. But I speak truth into your body and into your mind. I speak truth. And the truth is that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. I take authority over every spirit. Every foul and unclean spirit, a spirit of infirmity, we bind you now in the name of Jesus. And we release the healing power of God unto your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you right now for the healing, the manifestation of your spirit. Up here first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. I'm making a way. This way you'll see it in increments into the account. In increments into your account, and you'll know it's God doing it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on. Divine healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. It's a lie. I curse the lie right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Area.